In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us begin with wishing all mothers a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. But most importantly, let us turn to our Blessed Mother. After Mass this morning, we expect to have the May crowning and honor Mary as our Mother. And what is most striking in motherhood, in the Blessed Mother, is that one virtue called love, that enduring virtue, charity, which is to pass on into eternity. For all these other things are going to pass away. The only one that's going to remain is charity, is love. And it just so happens that our Lord is speaking to the apostles today basically about this love. He says, when you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Why? Because you have loved me. Christ says, you're going to ask in my name, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to ask the Father for you. The Father himself is going to hear you. He's going to listen to you. He's going to answer your prayers because you have loved me. And to me, it seems a very beautiful, a very simple mechanism that God has put in place for us. And I hope that I can somehow relate it to you this morning so that you can understand it too. For God demands that we love him with our entire being. And what is the measure of the love of God? How are we to know if we love God? Well, Christ answers that for us also. If you love me, you will keep my word. Okay, so we're commanded to love God, and if we love him, we are going to keep his words. Which means that we're seeking not to do our own will, that we've sacrificed our own will to do the will of God. To keep the laws of God, to do his word, means that we no longer seek what we want, but we seek only what he desires. For true love demands that we desire that which God desires. If we love him, we become one with him. Now I come to today's gospel when our Lord says, you can ask the Father anything in my name and he's going to give it to you. And I ask you, one who loves God, what is he going to ask of God? He's already renounced his own will. He's only willing to do that which God wills. So he's going to ask God in his prayers to do that which God has already designed to do. It sounds very circular, doesn't it? Love me. If you love me, then you want to do my will. And if you love me and anything you ask of me, I'll give it to you. Because anything, obviously, that you're going to ask is already what I have willed. And the reason that the apostles have not received is that they have not yet asked. Why have they not yet asked? It's because they have not yet really begun to love. And our Lord holds out this love, not just for the apostles, but for every one of us. Every one of us is commanded to love God. In the first pages of our children's catechism, why did God make me? God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him. And for what end? For what purpose? So that I might be happy with him in heaven. If we love God, we already desire to know him. Our works are already set about to serve him. Our prayers are already directed to him to do his will. Not my will, but thine be done. That becomes our prayer. And so it is obvious, if that is our prayer, then God will hear that prayer. And if we ask for anything that is not already God's will, it's because we have not yet really loved Him. So now we must answer the difficult question, why doesn't God hear my prayers? I come across this very often. I've prayed and prayed and prayed, but God doesn't hear my prayer. He doesn't answer my prayer. And one of the first things that comes to my mind is, yes, God has heard your prayer. He hears everything. He knows everything. You say, well, what about answering my prayer? Have you ever considered that God has answered your prayer and the answer was, no? Is that not something that is possible? Or is it perhaps not possible that we have not yet really begun to love God? We have not yet really begun to ask in the name of Christ? And we haven't yet begun to ask because we have not yet really begun to love God. When I first entered the religious life, as I'm sure anyone who has gotten married or had a tremendous change in their life, you begin examining yourself, questioning, am I doing the right thing? Is this what God wants of me? And I examined my relationship with so many people in the world. And I thought to myself, I'm looking for that perfect wife. And she doesn't exist. She only exists in my imagination. Our society paints the perfect wife. This is what she does. And in our mind, we have this idea of the perfect wife, who incidentally, most women looks just like the man's mother. There's nobody gets a wife as good as dear old dad got. So if you want to be a perfect wife, or you want to know what your husband is looking for, look at his mother. That's what he expects. But I examined myself before entering the religious life and said, what is it I'm looking for? I want this perfect wife. And I was perhaps inspired or wise enough, mature enough to determine she doesn't exist. It would be a cruel thing for me to marry a woman and try and make her fit into the form that I've preconceived for her. That would not be realistic. It would not be fair. And consequently, she would get the blame for everything, wouldn't she? But if I marry God, and anything goes wrong in the relationship, I know exactly who's at fault. It will be myself. And there is no more perfect spouse than God. He fits all the perfect ideas. He is all beautiful. He is all kind and merciful. He is all powerful. He is all wonderful. He is all loving. He is all forgiving. He is all just. He is every perfection taken to perfection. Every virtue perfected. I could not choose a more perfect spouse. And if I learn to love him, I already know that he loves me, but his love for me will save me. For this he has promised us. And he promises us in today's gospel. If you love me, anything you ask of me, I will give it to you. That is already an expression of my love for you. And it reminds me of a story of a king. He once commissioned this marble angel to be carved. When the angel was done, he hung a ring from each hand of the angel. In one hand, there was a silver ring suspended by a thin silken thread. On the other hand was a golden ring suspended by a diamond chain. And the king had two children, a boy and a girl. And he says, I will give you these rings if you can tell me what they symbolize. And the young prince came to his father very excited. He says, these two rings symbolize love. The father says, very good. But why is one gold and one silver? And so now it was the little princess's turn. And she comes forth and she says, Father, the silver ring represents human love. It is suspended with a silken thread which is easily broken to symbolize how fickle, how weak, how easily human affection and love is lost. And the gold ring symbolizes divine love, the love of God. It is suspended on a nice, sturdy diamond chain. And it is not easily broken. It is not easily lost. And the father said, very good. So he gave the little prince the silver ring, and the princess got the golden one. Because they had both answered correctly. But the little girl, the princess, she knew more. She chose the better part. She saw that human love is not what the world is presenting it to be, what our fairy tales have presented it to be. For what human love, what human affection in this world can promise another human being, whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you. Anything you ask in my name, I will give it to you. What love is so great in this world? There is none. The only love that can truly say this is God. But this love of God, as I mentioned before, it has prerequisites, if you will. It has little strings attached to it. For if we are to truly love God, we must love him more than we love anything else. More than we love anyone else. More than we even love ourselves. For us to love God, we must love him with our entire being, our heart, our mind, our soul, all our strength, all our will, all that we have. If we can love God in this manner, I can guarantee you that God not only hears your prayer, but will give you whatever you ask. Because if this is true, I am certain that you will ask God for nothing except for what God has already determined he's going to give to you. God is already willing and eager to give you these things that you're about to ask for. And so it is certain that you will receive them. But this golden ring on this diamond chain, this perfect love, is the one we should all be reaching for. It is the one we should all be striving for. As we honor the Blessed Mother today on Mother's Day, we see that she holds this golden ring. Her heart is one with God. And in the Memorare, we can pray to her that whatever she asks in our name, whenever she intercedes for us, she succeeds. Anything she asks of God is given to her. And so, in our weakness, in the lack of true love that we have for God, we can find an intercessory in the Blessed Mother. We can go to her, and if we can win Mary's heart, all she has to do is say the word, and her son will obey, for she is still his mother in heaven. All she has to do is ask, and God will give it to her. If we can get the Blessed Mother to intercede on our behalf, we are certain of victory. But we are certain because she has this divine love. She has this golden ring. And it's not enough for us just to come to her. She wants us to become like her. Christ came to this earth so that we can all become like him. Not in external appearances and all these material things, but in that which is most important, that which is eternal, love. He wants us to become like him in love. The Blessed Mother wants us to become like her in love, in this charity. Because we love Christ, all that we want is what God wants. All that we ask of God, he gives to us. The reason we have not yet experienced these things, as Christ tells the apostles, is because we have not yet asked. And I suggest the reason that we have not yet properly asked is that we have not yet properly loved. Our first prayer to God, to the Blessed Mother, should be that we might love him as we ought. That God would give us the grace to love him as we should love him. That he would give us the grace to transform ourselves so that we love God more than we love ourselves, more than we love this world. That we might have the grace to put everything in right order. We can have our priorities straight. I used to hear that quite a bit in high school, one of the classes. It was always about getting your priorities in order. What is it that you really want out of life? What is it that you rank first and foremost? And the young teenagers always told, what do you want to do with your life? And of course, whatever it is, you need to go to college. You need to do well in school. Whatever vocation you choose, your education is very important. So you should put that as a high priority. Have you heard anything like that yet, Addie? Getting your priorities in order and straightened out. What is most important to you? Is it being popular? Is it getting good grades? Is it avoiding all work altogether? Where do we put all our effort? I see Amanda smiling there. She must work hard at getting out of work. Or she knows students that do that. They go to great efforts not to do their work. And if they would have spent half as much effort trying to avoid the work, they could have done it and be finished. How foolish we are. It's time for us to step back, look at ourselves, and say, what are my priorities? What's important to me? Another word for this is, what do I love the most? What is it that I want the most? And once we figure that out, we ask ourselves, how do I go about getting it? And then we set about on the task of obtaining that which we want. And if you'll look around, you'll see it happening all around you in the world. Students who don't want to do their work, they work really hard not to work. The man who is attracted to a girl, a woman, what doesn't he do to gain her affection, her attention, her love, to get her to look at him? What will he not do for a simple smile? What intrigues? I can reverse it too. What cunning and intrigues do women not go through to get the attention of men? How much time will they not spend in front of a mirror painting their face, doing their nails, fixing their hair, all so that they can win a glance, have someone look at them and feel flattered? And they never stop to wonder, is he looking at me because he thinks I'm beautiful or because he can't believe I went through all this effort to look like a clown, painting my face, putting on all this show? For what? That is a priority, as we can see, for so many people in this world. And to me, it is nothing but a lie. It's a falsehood. Both the man and the woman, they clean themselves up, present themselves in the best possible light, put on their best behavior to impress one another. For what? To entrap each other. And then after they realize who it is that they've been entrapped by, they think, how did I ever fall for this? I was deceived. After the woman is married and she no longer has to paint up her face and do her nails and fix her hair, the man says, oh, she's not as pretty as she once was. The man who no longer has to put on his best appearance, the wife wakes up and looks and, he doesn't look so good first thing in the morning. Did I really marry him? We see it all around us in the world. This is the love that the world is presenting to us. And we know it's an illusion. We know it's a lie. We know the world lies. The little children know it. Ask any of them. When they watch the commercial and they see the perfect toy advertised and they just have to have it, and they plead and beg and are not relentless until they finally get that toy they saw advertised, and they bring it home and open it up out of the package and discover that the toy doesn't do what the commercial was doing. All the flashing lights and the glimmer and the background music, it's not there. is just a piece of plastic, which is soon cast aside. But no matter, the TV comes forth with a new toy. If only you had this toy, then you'd be happy, and it starts all over again. And over again, our children are exposed to this. And I ask, when do they learn that these commercials are lies? That happiness that is being advertised is an illusion. And I ask this question because I see so often they never seem to learn that simple lesson. From little children, they become teenagers that have to have the latest electronic gadgets, the most recent smartphone, whatever it may be. The latest toy is going to make them happy. But it never does. Or this car. Or they get married and live in this town or that town. We have children. We all have this illusion that once we get this, we'll be happy. And it never happens. We're always disappointed. We can get close, but never complete satisfaction, never complete joy. And again, I remind you of those first words of St. Augustine's Confession. Our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in Thee. Our hearts were made for God, to love God. We're searching for that perfect happiness, for that perfect love. And God is showing us over and over again, it's not here. We keep reaching for that silver ring, thinking that it's stable, that it's something we can hold on to. And that thin silk thread snaps away every time. And the little silver ring goes rolling down and we have to go chasing it. Looking for that security, for that solidity that our hearts were made to know but can't seem to find because we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking for that silver ring when we should be looking for the gold one. And if we seek first that gold ring, then all the other joys this world has to offer will be given us besides. That too is Christ's promise to us. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its justice, and everything else will be given you. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Your Heavenly Father knows you need all of these things and He'll take care of it. Your only concern is to seek that golden ring, that love of God. And everything else He will give you. Anything you want, He will give you. Because principally the main thing that you will want is Him. And He is already eager to give Himself to us, as He has proven by coming to this earth. In giving us His own Immaculate Mother to be our Mother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.